My dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. Last week, my husband John got a new hiking pack, and while showing it off to me in his glee, he insisted that I try it on to share in his joy. So I hoisted the pack on my back, and after doing so, I instinctively put my right hand on my belly, and I just about said, "Anya, get ready for adventures." For that split second, I forgot that our baby girl, Anya, was no longer here inside of me. At the moment, she wasn't here. She was there upstairs in our house taking a nap. By that point, it had been 11 weeks that she had been there and not here. And now in these 12 weeks it's been, I've come to know and to love Anya's evolving face and her hair and her fingers and her wiggling legs. Now I get to watch her movement instead of feel her movement inside of me, which was sometimes to my discomfort anyway. If given the choice, I do far prefer to interact with her, to look at her face to face. I love seeing her raise her right arm as though she's conducting an orchestra or asking a question. And yet once in a while, there is an aching inside. There is a sadness that she is no longer here, where she came along wherever I went, where she baked with me, and toward the end of my pregnancy, where she struggled up the stairs with me. And most of all, I miss that here was where I could protect her without hardly trying. It was where I could trust that she would be safe as long as I didn't eat raw chicken or fall down the stairs. For the most part, at least, I thought that. If I wanted to quickly make sure she was okay, I could just give her a little nudge and she'd give me a little nudge back. Less than 3 months into parenting, and as you can see, I'm already learning how this whole journey brings endless joy and endless grief. In this morning's passage from the book of Acts that you heard Tom read, Jesus ascends to the heavens. Apparently, the internet has cleverly reminded us this week that the ascension is that moment when Jesus starts working from home. It's when he finally moves from where the disciples knew him to be. Our story takes place 40 days after Easter, after Jesus was crucified and then was risen from the dead. Just in a month and a half prior to this moment today, to the ascension, the disciples grieved as their Lord and teacher was crucified before them. And then 3 days after that, they had rejoiced at the news and the sight of his resurrection. But now at the ascension, just when the disciples have gotten reacquainted with the resurrected Jesus, when they're settling into the celebration of life together again with him, it's then that Jesus leaves them. And he leaves them for good this time, at least in one sense, he leaves them. Jesus, this teacher with whom they could once talk and walk, and to whom they could ask their most burning questions about God and faith and life, he ascends before their eyes to never walk beside them again, at least literally. As Pastor Jeff said in our leadership team meeting this week, as we were together reading this story, the story of the ascension is an end. It's even more of an ending than the crucifixion or the resurrection. It's the end of Jesus' physical time on earth for the disciples and for us. After the ascension, nothing will ever be like it was. Jesus will never be where he once was, in one sense. His disciples will never know him in the same way they did. The story resonates deeply with me in this moment in my life. Our little Anya will never be inside of me again. Her entrance into the outside world has forever changed my life and my body and my dreams and my outlook on life. There are many things that will never be the same for me. There's so much to celebrate about that. I certainly wouldn't want her to come back inside, because it was a lot of work getting her out, I will say. There's a lot to celebrate about her life on the outside, and yet there is still some that I grieve too. And in some similar ways, our story resonates with our faith community and with our world. Saying that things have changed is certainly a gross understatement, as I now preach on a Friday afternoon to one person, Audrey, our Spirit of Joy hero and communications coordinator. Things have changed. So many things have changed, things we held dear. Some things have changed forever, and none of us knows yet what those things will be. We grieve all that we have lost. We grieve being together. We grieve seeing family and friends in three-dimensional form. We grieve traveling and making plans. Maybe you are grieving people you have directly lost from COVID-19. Maybe you grieve seeing anyone at all in person. Maybe you grieve your employment or your financial security. And maybe, like the disciples at the Ascension, you grieve the place where you always knew God to be and the form you always knew God to take. In our story today, the disciples watch as Jesus is lifted up. Jesus is taken out of their sight before their very eyes. And so when two guys in white robes show up and ask them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" I want to say, why wouldn't they be standing up and looking toward heaven? That is literally where he just went. 40 days ago, he was murdered. And then he rose from the dead, and then he came back, and they reunited with him and celebrated together. These men of Galilee can probably hardly keep track of Jesus, their teacher and leader. They're trying to keep up with him when he leaves before their eyes. So, of course, they're looking toward heaven. That's where they last saw him. And they're probably grieving as they look. Grieving that Jesus is not there with them, walking among them and teaching them. Grieving that their teacher and friend is gone and will never return to live among them in the same way. Grieving that their lives have changed in ways they can't even imagine yet. Wondering what it even means to be a disciple now or what it looks like. And maybe they're wondering where God is when God no longer walks among them in the physical sense. These questions, this wondering sounds familiar to me, and maybe this wondering sounds familiar to you too. These are some questions I'm asking now, and maybe you are too, including other questions. What does it look like to follow Jesus in this new normal? How do we love our neighbors from a 6-foot distance? How do we love our neighbors and keep ourselves and our families safe as we do? And who is Spirit of Joy when we're not together on La Quinta Street? What does it mean to do life together when we're apart? How will our community be forever changed? Not just from this pandemic, but now because even on that joyous day when we do gather again on La Quinta Street, it will be a different space and our worship might take a different shape. And in the midst of all these questions, maybe you're asking, where is God? Where is God? When you've lost the places, maybe even this fundamental place where you knew God to be. Where is God in the midst of your grief and your uncertainty? Just like the disciples in Acts suspect, had Jesus stayed where you last saw him, now in a place that you can no longer access in the same way? Maybe you're asking, is God absent, or at the very least, just forever out of reach? These are real and valid questions. For some of these questions, there is no answer yet, and there may not be for a while. Yet, to the question, where is God, hear today that there is an answer. God is here and God is there, wherever you are. God is still in the place where you last knew God to be, and God has followed you to where you are now. God is among God's gathered people right now, even if gathered now means something different. And in just a few minutes, Jesus, God, will be there and will be here and there in bread and in wine, even if that bread and wine or juice come from your own pantry and the words of blessing and institution come from your own mouth. In our Acts text, Jesus tells the disciples that after he ascends, they will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Jesus says they, the disciples, will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Even when he leaves them, he is saying they will not be alone. The Holy Spirit will live and breathe among them, and they will become the presence of Jesus in all the world. And so it is today. To the question, where is God? The answer is God is wherever God's work of healing is being done. God is at Avera and Sanford among the sick and the dying, and in care centers also. God is there in those places through the work of janitors and nurses and doctors and medical technicians and assistants. God is with family members who cannot be near their loved ones right now. God is among teachers and students whose classrooms have taken entirely new forms. God is among exhausted parents and lonely elders. God is wherever you are right now. In the same way, Spirit of Joy is now wherever you are and wherever the work of the Holy Spirit is happening. Spirit of Joy is on Facebook and YouTube and in mailboxes, where now several of our high school ministry partners and older ministry partners are now connecting over the summer as pen pals. Spirit of Joy is at the banquet and is with Necessities for Neighbors. Spirit of Joy is in Arizona and Maryland and California and Washington, thanks to the way digital worship is expanding our community. Spirit of Joy is not the same as she was. She is certainly not the same place or form I left before my maternity leave. And yet, as the people of Spirit of Joy, you and me, our identity as God's people is ever true. And our call remains the same, to love God and to love our neighbors and to be people of radical hospitality, lifelong faith formation, extravagant generosity, bold service, and passionate worship. So God bless you, Spirit of Joy. Know that God is with you in this day, wherever you are. And know that I am so glad to be back with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.